This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Around this great land of ours, you can find Kelly and company right from your TV. Westman customers, look for us at channel 889. And tell us, also channel 889. Visit ami.ca/audio for a list of channel locations in your area. I'm Kelly McDonald with Ramya Muthan.
Kels, it's time for our book club. We have this at the end of the month, the last Tuesday to be specific. And we always have a good time talking about, you know, the books, the narrators that we love, we don't love. It really, really can go anywhere in this book club. And so today we're talking about Hidden Sea, and it's written by Gregory Maguire, and it was recommended to us by Karen McGee. And she's actually here to join us and talk about the book right now. So, Karen, thank you for coming on, first of all, and getting a recommendation. And I feel like we've talked about it for a while before it actually happened.
Oh, no, you and I both know how much I love books. You yeah. love books. I love books. I love to read. And I will try anything once, or in this case, four times.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't tried the book four times. It's the author. Okay. This is my fourth book of his.
The fourth book of the author. Okay, okay. So actually, let's start there then. What made you pick this book? I mean, if you've read other books by this author, was that the main case, or have you already read this book before?
What I did was I had three or four books in mind, and I sent you sort of a list, and I sort of picked them from ones that maybe had a slight Christmas theme, because a lot of people I figured would be reading over the holidays.
Yes.
I've read Gregory Maguire before. I mean, Wicked, right? He wrote Wicked. And I remember reading Wicked going, how can they make a musical out of this? Because I'd heard all the music and I was expecting this friendly, lively book, and it was so dark and twisty. Now, I like dark and twisty, but it wasn't what I expected. And I'm not saying I'm a huge fan. I don't rush out to find him, but I struggle with his books sometimes. But I want to keep reading more because I like the idea behind him. I like the idea of taking a story we know and putting a dark and twisty angle on it, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I want to like him more than I do.
Right. And that's an interesting, you're liking the potential where the books can go. And that's actually what I struggled with when reading this book. Full disclosure, I haven't finished the book and I found it really hard to get into for several reasons, which I'll talk about throughout the meeting here. But it is, it's kind of like, oh, that would be interesting. But then I'm getting into it and I'm like, but do I actually find this interesting, or am I waiting for it to get somewhere where I could get with the program? So Kels, your thoughts, let's talk about the audiobook for a second, because you listen to it in audio. Your thoughts about the narration?
I enjoy the narrator. I like the reading style. I love the pace. It was done really, really well. I love the creativity of voices, because one of the things I struggle with a book like this that has the fantasy elements and things like that is, okay, what is serious here? Well, it for real, if you want to call it that, in the level of what am I to take what from this? Sometimes I need that little support of the read of the narrator to, oh yeah, okay.
Storytelling.
Yeah, to make it feel like what it is, whereas I get caught trying to take it too real. And yet mm-hmm. some of the stuff you've got to take as it is, the way it is in the story. And not being a big fantasy, if you want to call it that, certain things that are outside the realm of believability and they're not supposed to be believed, the character world that's been built, I want to buy into it. I just need that extra support. So I found with this narration and the voice, excellent.
Okay, that's great. And I know we haven't had too many fantasy picks during our book clubs, our monthly book clubs on Kelly and Company, and it is still a bit of a new realm and also just not your default go-to, Kel. So
looking
forward to more of those comments. Karen, you were reading the print version, right?
I was reading the print version, but after listening to Kelly, I think I should have done the audio version instead.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, do you do any audiobook listening?
I do books by audio, and I've had books by audio make me sob. Well, it all comes down to great narration. I've also stopped somewhere. I'm like, this person does not get this book.
Yep.
But I like to listen to books while I walk or when I'm doing housework and stuff, because I love books. I love literature. I love the way books can bring you into a world. And what I found by reading this, it's like he touched on things. Like he got into like Pan and some of the Greek gods and that. And I'm like, I want more. Like, why are they there? And like there was some stuff where he kind of dabbled in things and then pulled back. And I'm like, oh, I want to delve into more. Like, what made this wood so magical, really? Type of thing, right? Like,
yeah.
I felt like there was more that could be developed. And I think by having an audiobook, by getting the different voices coming through from somebody narrating it for me, I think I would have gotten a lot more out of it, if that makes sense.
I didn't find that I grabbed pictures as much as I have in other fantasy books. I loved his reading. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, as you said, Karen, it's nice to be able to walk and that. Well, to me, when the narrator or the writing brings out so many visuals in your mind, man, you trip over your feet walking because you start, and run yourself into a pole because you start seeing them.
Yeah. I can't remember which book it was I was doing and I was training for one of my races. I would listen to a book and I sometimes I'd like stop what I was doing.
Yeah. I used to on the elliptical.
What happened?
Yep.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Or, you know, having to rewind something to hear it again. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say it leans you differently. Like you lean into different things when you listen to an audiobook versus a print book. So that's why I'm super curious about, you know, when you were reading this, you were kind of pausing and thinking, wait, why didn't he develop this a little further? Whereas if you're in the audiobook portion, let's say you're listening to that same part, you might not even thought of it that way because you're focusing in on something completely different, the, you know, the characterization or whatever. But there were many references to other fairy tales, Karen, you told me this, and as well as real people, right? So there's a lot of different things that even though it's fantasy, there are real life references sprinkled throughout. And Karen, I want to know, did you enjoy this aspect of the book? And how did you react to those? Like, do you do that thing where you pause a book and you're like, wait, I got to go look that up. I know it.
Well, you know me well enough to know that yes, I do. I will take a good pop culture reference, even if it's a pop culture reference from the 1800s. So there was a couple, like the couple that he lived with at the beginning. I didn't clue into the fact they were Hansel and Gretel.
I did not clue into the fact
that the old couple was Hansel and Gretel. And
had
until the end,
say that too.
Yeah, and I'm like, that is amazing. And you know, there was hints like he read that new book about Scrooge. By that young up and coming author, and I'm like, that's amazing. But one of the ones that I had to stopped and did a deep dive was the Dr. Mesner, and I'm thinking I remember something about Dr. Mesner from a class I took at some point in my life, and I went and looked it up, and he actually was based on a German physician who developed the idea that there was an energy transference between inanimate objects and animate objects, so which he called, are you ready, animal magnetism. So this was a development of animal magnetism where the idea was that people could inhabit animal bodies and vice versa. And actually that turned into what it was known as hypnotism in sort of a long standing way. But I'm like, okay, now knowing that some of the stuff that was happening made sense. If that makes like, right. Oh yeah, that doctor was, you can transfer energy into like this wooden nutcracker. And I'm like, oh, okay, now it's making sense. But sometimes having to stop and do those deep dives, which A, can take a lot longer to read the book. But B, I find that part of reading very interesting when an author takes something that actually happened, if it's historical, if it's present, and sort of brings it into a work of fiction. Sort of like a touchstone, if that makes sense. Pop culture touchstones.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is we see a lot of that in modern stuff. If somebody, and when I say modern, something written today, talking about something, creating some
all
characters in the 1970, like say 74, 5, and they use all the references and try to keep the time sequence, but it's totally fictitious.
Yeah, you don't think about doing it in sort of a book from the, you know, the 1800s.
That era, no.
Like, oh, that's really cool. So like all those, you know, when he's writing all the, like, practicing all the music from the new musicians. I think it was Bach. Was it Bach? Yeah, I think it was Bach. But, you know, I love that sort of stuff because, you know, pop culture is pop culture, whether it's 200 years ago or this year.
Exactly. Well, if you love that, I will just shout out another book right now, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab. Such a good read. Anyway, for that purpose alone, it was like, oh my God, you got to pause every 5 seconds to go.
Hold on. Let me go to Amazon and order that. Let me get
it. Buy it right now.
Give me a minute.
Seriously. Okay.
I'm bad for that.
No, seriously. The reality and fantasy kills. You talked about it a bit. In a fantasy book, because that's where we're actually putting this realm, it can really feel like the the story can be maybe straddling the line, you know? Did you feel that it worked for you? Because it may not work for everybody, right? Because you talked about painting this world. And when I think of fantasy, I will not mention Harry Potter, but just in case you wanted to mention Harry Potter, you're thinking you're completely enveloped in this world, right? You're completely enveloped. This is not even real life anymore. But in this book, there are a lot of real life references. Did that work for you?
No, I mean, it does and it doesn't. Like, I'm like Karen. I love those references. I love the pop culture and that. I think the straddling when I understood, okay, this is what we're doing. Okay, that's the talking this or the mouse. Okay, and following along with it. And then the characters. And it's kind of full of little, what's the word? I don't want to say tropes, but those little things that fool you. And if you don't know some of the references, you don't have to get all of them. You miss out on realizing how it is straddling that world of the reality. So you could very much go through this and just think, oh, there's a bunch of made up characters and really miss out on that level if you don't know. And I'm sure
if you don't do the deep dive.
Yeah, if you don't read a book and do those stops and do deep dives and you're not really into the, you know, creation of the Nutcracker and everything like that, you just feel, oh, it's this fantasy book with these cool characters where you will not catch Hansel and Gretel and those other things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to switch to another part, guys, because Kelly, you mentioned that there was a moment in the later part of the book where a mouse joke made you laugh out loud, which I love. Yeah. I love capturing the different moods of a book. So for you, did it feel like it hit the mark in this case or in general when audiobooks have jokes in there and you can laugh out loud?
When I find they hit me is when I don't necessarily expect it. Now, I'm not saying the book was serious. Oh, a joke. Ha ha. There was other points to laugh at. But this was totally for me. And again, the narration incredibly helped with it, where a cat is coming in to get a family of mice. And the mother stands up on the hind legs and says, you know, bow wow. And the mouse took or the cat took off. OK, that's the way the reader covered it. You know, the mother said, I will show you something, children. And as the cat advanced on them and she stands up on her hind legs and says, bow wow. And it was just so simple, so funny, so expertly, like it just delivered such a basic.
Yeah.
I couldn't help I'm laughing out loud saying, wow. And it made me think, oh, it's a very basic, but so important. Would you get it that way, feel that way? More so
in print.
Hearing it or in print.
Yeah, that's what I was going to throw it right back at you, Karen. Yeah.
Oh, I definitely hearing it because I didn't laugh out loud at that. But when you tell it, it's kind of, I remember the part. But I didn't laugh out loud. I think you had a really good narrator for this book.
Oh,
I might go back. I might go back and re-listen and listen to the audio version.
But and that's kind of what I was thinking with the jokes and with other things you guys have talked about throughout this conversation where, you know, you're leaning into one thing more than the other as a print reader, but that same thing for somebody else sits differently. Now, obviously, we're all different kinds of readers, but in an easy comparison style, does it make a difference when it's audio versus print? Because you're just reading through, right, Karen? Like the jokes... Yeah.
And I struggled with the first two thirds of this book. And then the last third of the book, I flew through it like crazy.
Yeah,
loved it.
I struggled with the first 80% of it and I'm at the 80% mark.
Oh, really? I love when they get, oh, really? Because am I the only one who finished it? Because once you got to the part where Clara and like the Nutcracker and all that, I was all in.
And I agree.
Because now it's bringing you back to the world you know.
It's relatable at that point to you, right? And you start seeing where it's going, why. And I agree. I'm in that area and I agree. Like for me to finish it, which I will, won't be a problem because the familiarity is there and I've caught going back, I'd be able to talk about the characters? No, not a lot.
Yeah. But Karen, I am glad you recommended this one because like you said, a familiar name, Gregory Maguire, right? Familiar story or at least backstory to something that you already know. And I'm really curious about Kels when you finish it because the people who've read it around me through December have been saying the same thing. Like, okay, the first three quarters, you know, like until it gets to that last leg of the book, you might be wondering, where is this going? But then, like you said, Karen, because it's getting something somewhere familiar, it feels like, now we're home stretch.
Felt like it all came together.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yes. I get it now.
And that's okay, isn't it? Like, I mean, you know, like a writer you're writing a book. This is what you want to do. This is your creativity. You know, sure, some of us are just not going to get it. Some of us are going to be right on with it. That's okay.
Yes. I just wish he wasn't so complicated in the way he tried to write.
Yep.
He tries to write, like an old-fashioned, like the old-fashioned fairy tales are written, Brothers Grimm would write.
Grimm's fairy tales, yep.
Going for that.
Very, very difficult language, very difficult.
And a weird darkness.
Yes, dark and twist. Again,
but you could get into the darkness. It's the way that it's portrayed, right?
Yeah, some of the darkness, Karen, definitely.
Yeah. Karen, appreciate you recommending it. I'm sure you'll recommend more because you read a lot. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we got to let you go so we can tell people about next month's book.
All right, I'll be listening. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you. That was Karen McGee joining us on our book club panel, talking about Hidden Sea by Gregory Maguire. Now, for February, we're discussing, because it's, you know, Valentine's Day is somewhere in there, we thought we would go to the romance, A Forever Kind of Love by Nora Roberts. You might be a huge Nora Roberts fan already, and if you've already read this book, please read along again and give us your thoughts. So this is recommended to us by Debbie Williams, who joins us on our accessible gaming segments. And I'll tell you a little bit about it. There's two storylines. I'll tell you about the first one. Frederica Kimball has had a crush on Nicholas Lebec since they were kids. And once a reckless teenager, Nick has cleaned up his act and is now one of the most sought after composers on Broadway. So when Freddie's offered the opportunity to work on a musical with Nick, she wastes no time. She moves to New York City to be closer to him and to be independent for once. Freddie is tired of being looked at like a helpless child and determined to prove that she's not a little girl anymore. She goes to New York. If only Nick could see things that way too. There's also some other characters in here and some other storylines, but Nora Roberts, huge hit. We're going to discuss it on February 22nd, which is the last Tuesday of the month. So read the book, call us with your comments, 1-866-509-4545. You can also email us, feedback@ami.ca. And we're also looking for recommendations for the following month. So do that too, please.
Yeah, really want to get recommendations in, folks. Bill Shackleton, talking to you. It's okay. Come forward. Come forward, Billy, with that mayhem and murder book that you're probably reading right now. Suggest
Jeffrey
that.
With oh, sports. Hurry
Brock
up, Jeff.
Richardson and Jeff with sports, right? They can battle it out and, you know, they can get into fisticuffs over what to have, you know. But no, really, folks, we really, really want the recommendations coming forward. So many people around that read. AMI staff, where the heck are you? I see what you're talking about on Teams.
I tried to loop in Jim Crisco once, and he's like, no, it wasn't me.
Yeah, exactly. No, not I. I don't know what I would expect the Jeff Ryman book would be. Ah, from the Weber.
He said he has some.
Grilling so, books.
Don't worry.
Oh, boy, it'd be great, folks. But no, we really appreciate it. And you know, you can sit back. We want that honest look at it. If you want to come on and talk, it would be really wonderful to hear you and get your recommendation. Speaking of recommendations, would you stick around? Come back on the other side of the break when we'll tell you what's coming up on Now with Dave Brown and Kelly and Company for the Wednesday edition of the program.
Hi, I'm Jenny Bovard. Join me monthly for Low Vision Moments, where I speak with awesome guests about some of the amusing things that happen when you're blind or partially sighted. Watch on YouTube or download Low Vision Moments from your favorite podcast distributor.